Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
You have offended
this podcast,
and you have offended
the entire movie making community.
Seen something chop socky flip, man. Some cool shit.
You have found it. This is You Have Offended This Podcast. We are the biggest, the baddest, and the best martial arts movie podcast kicking around these parts of the internet. My name is Mike McCarron, and with me, as always, is the man who kills every one-armed man he meets, Chad Lindsay. How you doing, man?
Yeah. I'm just going to kill every one-armed man I meet, and you're just going to have to deal with it, Dr. Richard Kimball.
Shockingly, there is a lot of one-armed men in this movie.
Well, that's one of the things that I laugh my ass off about is there's just, generally speaking, there's a large number of men with one arm that live in this one village. And you would think that word would get around pretty quickly, like, fucking Terrio, there's a fucking dude that's coming to town, and he is killing every man with one arm. And you lost your arm in that industrial accident last year, so you might want to fucking lay low for a little bit.
Farming incident.
Yeah, with that ancient hay baler that we had.
Yeah, this movie's nuts. I don't know if there's that many one-armed dudes. Before we move too farther into this, we should probably say the movie we're doing this week, if you haven't followed us prior on our social media and whatnot, we're doing a movie known as Master of the Flying Guillotine, classic movie, a.k.a. One-Armed Bandit Part 2. So we're going to roll into this. This is a movie directed by Jimmy Wang Yu, classic kung fu flick. There's actually a series of these. You mentioned that when we talked earlier today. There's five of these movies. Shaw Brothers made the first one in 75, just called Flying Guillotine. And then they were going to make a sequel, but Jimmy Wang Yu had left Shaw Brothers and basically stole the idea and took it from them and made his own sequel called Master of the Flying Guillotine, which is also a sequel to his prior movie, One Armed Bandit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna say it. This is just the way that the Chinese people roll. Like, you know, like they'll be just like, hey, thanks for these iPhones or Samsung Galaxies. We're gonna make knockoffs of them in the factory.
And gradually make them better and better until we win.
Yeah. We're just like, we're making knockoffs of these brand new Samsung Galaxy 21s. They're half the price, but we cut some corners.
Yeah,
but virtually identical.
They may occasionally burst into flames, but yes, virtually identical.
It's just like, hey man, you stole my idea, and they're like, what are you even talking about? Like, they don't even understand. But I mean, here we are watching this film. There's a lot of people that love this series, completely love this series. For me, it's like when I talk to people, sometimes they're like, hey, do you care what we put on the pizza? I'm like, no, I don't give a fuck. Like, yep. I like everything but squash. Like, I was like, I will eat anything, but I fucking hate squash. And then as soon as I say that, like, a middle-aged woman pops out of nowhere and she's like, oh, that's just because you've never had my squash. And I'm like, no, like, I don't like squash. No, but the way I bake it in the oven and
but have you put brown sugar on it?
Brown sugar in it. And I was like, yeah, but do you use squash? Because I'll fucking hate it. Like, I'm sure people think that your squash is the best they've ever had. It's not for me.
Yeah.
Your squash isn't bad, lady. Like, I'm just not going to fucking eat it.
Sure, it's delightful. However,
that's kind of the allegory that I have for this film and films like it. I know there's people that absolutely love it. It's just not the genre that I dig.
Yep.
With a lot of the wire work and the strange superhuman stuff. I certainly appreciate this film, and I certainly see why people are like, fuck, I really love this. It's just not the subgenre that really gets me going.
No, I'm the exact same way. I find it very much like when you go back and listen to a very, very influential comic like Lenny Bruce or something like that, where he's iconic, I know why he's iconic. When I listen, I get it, but I don't find it hilarious because it's very dated. You know what I mean? Like, whereas this is kind of the same thing. I have to be in the mood for a movie like this. And all of the supernatural wire work, jumping around stuff. Dude, the Foley is hysterical. But it gets on my nerves after a while. Because every little move is that windy. Woof, woof, woof,
yeah,
woof,
like,
woof, like the entire movie. Dude.
Yeah, it's like, okay, we have one sound effect. But I don't mean any disrespect, and I don't mean to say in any way, shape, or form that, because that's what happens when you have a certain amount of subjectivity to something.
Yep.
Like, if we did Killswitch last week, and we're like, this movie is fucking abject dog shit. Like, objectively, it's
factually
dog shit. There's no subjectivity. It's like, oh, well, you know, like, some people like it. Like, nobody likes
fucking
movie. Like, nobody. Just Steven Seagal. So when it comes to this, I can watch a film like this and I can appreciate what it does. And I can also say, you know, it's not up my alley. But I can also understand why so many people love it and say this is one of their favorite classic kung fu movies. It's just, it's not for me, but that doesn't mean that it's a bad movie. That just means that, you know, it doesn't connect with me. Just like I went for wings the other night and I had Chipotle and buddy down there had honey garlic. Well, I would rather fucking put a knife through my hand than eat honey garlic wings.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of motherfuckers who like it.
Yep. Yeah. It's individual. We talked about this earlier today. When you go to a comedy club and you just see stand-up comedy. Well, there's a big-ass range of comedy. And people that go to watch Carrot Top or Jeff Dunham.
Yes.
If they show up and it's Doug Stanhope and Dave Attell, they're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to like it. But that doesn't mean Stanhope and Attell aren't fucking legendary. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's just personal taste. And when you say martial arts movies, we've talked about this before. There's a wide range of what martial arts movies actually are. And this is on one end of it with the Hong Kong, and even this is a knockoff Hong Kong because it's Taiwanese, martial arts film with the wire work and the supernatural stuff. Now, that said, they do a great job of setting up the world so that all the weird supernatural shit that happens, you're not like, what in the hell is happening now? Like,
yeah,
you
yeah,
buy it
I
all.
Mean, I've grown to kind of expect that sort of thing. So, you know, when there's a guy fighting and his arms fucking stretch out so he looks like Dick Jones at the end of RoboCop when he goes over the fucking building, I'm like, what the fuck? His arms are fucking 10 feet long. Okay, well, fair enough. I'm in for it.
Yep. All right.
I'm in for it. Like, there's nothing, there really is nothing wrong with this film. Like, there really is nothing wrong with this film.
No.
It just doesn't get lead in my pencil, if
no.
you know what I mean.
No, it's a classic film, and rightfully so, and we'll discuss all that stuff. But again, it doesn't blow my skirt up. It's not my genre. So this movie opens on old blind master named Fu getting word that a couple of his students have been killed, which is a pickup from Flying Guillotine, the end of the first one, where two of this dude's students get killed. And he learns of their demise by way of a pigeon, Chad.
Listen, dude, like, this is more of about how my brain works than with the particular film. So when the pigeon flies in and there's a note saying, you know, teacher, if you're reading this, we're dead. We're going off to fight this one-armed man. And the movie is carrying on. And for the next fucking 20 minutes, dude, I was trying to figure out how this pigeon would be released upon their death, right?
Yep.
Like, they're dead, and then the pigeon gets sent. And I'm sitting there, and in my mind, I'm like, you know those Japanese deer scares where the water fills in and then it drops down?
Thunk.
I was like, well, maybe he had something like this, that the pigeon was going to be released if he didn't get back there at the end of every day. Like, the water would slowly fill up and slowly fill up, and then eventually it would get to a certain weight, and then, like, the cage door would open and the pigeon would fly. So, like, his intent was like, okay, I'm gonna go fight this motherfucker, and then I'm gonna come back, and, you know, I'll just, you know, not send the pigeon. So I was just like, I was like building all these fucking mouse traps and all these different devices that would, like, release the
pigeon if he didn't come back and intervene. And I was about fucking 20 to 30 minutes into the film where I when I actually was just like, okay, that could work. Because, yeah, he gets a note saying, if you're reading this, I'm dead. And I'm like, well, how the fuck did he write the note if he was dead? So I was just trying to come up with some sort of time release pigeon carrier message. It's fucked. I was so mad, not at the movie. I was mad at myself for being distracted and trying to figure out some sort of fucking game that would make this work.
Well, it doesn't make sense because the pigeon would have to be forever tied to this wooden, like, remember, it's going to a blind guy. So the fucking little wooden note that's on it has to be in like Braille or something. And it has to convey, hey, if you're reading this, we're dead. Please go avenge us. It was a one-armed man. Like, that's a lot of Braille to put on something like a slab to let a pigeon carry across the dunes of Tatooine to go to Asian Obi-Wan here.
It was just like one of the fucking tablets that Moses carried. It was a big pigeon.
It was a condor.
But they could have at the very least, like, put the guy's name, because this guy just goes in and their description, like, they write quite a bit. Like, they give quite a long backstory, but they actually give everything except this guy's name. So then teacher goes on and just starts massacring. You remember in Terminator when he just went to the phone book and found three Sarah Connors and just was systematically killing everyone named Sarah Connor? Yeah. This is basically what this guy does. He just fucking shows up and starts killing everybody with one arm.
And they do set up the magic bit here where blind man Fu, he gets all mad that his students are dead. He goes and gets his flying guillotine. We get the first look at that, and he takes the head off a couple of melons as practice just to show what this fucking thing can do. And then he goes in the house, gets his thing, and he jumps through the roof of his house and lands outside and does a big punch front flip. And then he throws a little fireball and lights his house on fire and fucks off. Like, he's burning bridges, literally. Well, houses, I guess.
Well, yeah, okay. So, firstly, the superhuman, I'm going to fucking jump out of my house through the fucking thatch roof and, you know, land 200 meters away from my house. Like, I'm like, okay. Like, I personally don't like that superhuman wire stuff. But what I will say is I do like how he threw the ninja smoke bomb and burned his fucking house down, because that showed me his level of commitment to this cause, because he's like, well, I am never fucking coming home. This is it for me. This is my last fucking, this is my last go. I got my motherfucking robes. I got my goddamn guillotine beanie that I'm going to go to kill. So I actually did like the fact that he burned his fucking house down and peaced out.
I'm going
to
go kill some one-armed men. Which, speaking of, we now cut to the school of our one-armed bandit, Jimmy Wang Yu, who is also the director of the movie. And they have this little scene here where he's teaching his students, and he's like, okay, today we're going to talk about jumping. And I was like, jumping? Fucking for real? But then they go and get this basket and fill it up with rocks, and one of the students tries to stand around it, which he does, like around the edge. Take the rocks out. They take the rocks out, and the student can't do it. And fucking one-armed bandit jumps up and lands on the edge of this wicker-ass basket with nothing in it, and he walks around the edge and then jumps down. They take him into the school. He takes all his students, I should say, into the school, and he's like, let's go to step two or whatever it is, and he jumps up and literally walks up the wall and across the goddamn ceiling.
Yeah, he's walking across the support beams.
He's like Jamiroquai in the fucking thing.
Yeah, I am going to Jamiroquai. I am going to teach you the mastery of the virtual insanity.
It'd be awesome if he started like side moonwalking around. Virtual insanity.
Fuck, actually, that would amp this movie up for me.
They need to put the music in.
It's that again. It's a personal preference. It's not that it's bad, because there's people that love and he walks up the wall and he walks across the trusses that are holding the school up and he's defying gravity and stuff. It's just something that I just don't connect with it. Like, I don't feel it. But it's an interesting thing that they're basically showing that this large amount of training can get you to the point where you're superhuman and. I don't know, it's kind of like a weird line, because film like The Raid, right, where Ico goes in and beats up 200 guys with guns, like,
that's not realistic either.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
But at the same time, the way that it's that it's portrayed on the screen, it does feel real. So I don't know. There's definitely a difference. I just can't quite put my finger on what that difference
yeah,
is.
Yeah, there's a realism line. Because
they're both basically in fucking impossible.
Oh, they're entirely like, impossible. Like we watched Chinese Connection where Bruce went in and beat up 30 guys at the Japanese dojo.
Yeah.
That was awesome, other than the dummies. But that was awesome, right? And you can't do that. Like, you're not beating up 30. I don't give a fuck how tough you are. You're not beating up 30 guys.
Yeah, like, yeah, 30
you know,
guys.
Fuck off. But it's the realism of the fighting itself. And again, kind of the world you set up, right? Where Bruce can do that in the movie. These guys, they kind of actually set it up here with Liu, the one-armed bandit. His name is Liu. He says to his students, with enough training, anything is possible.
Yeah.
You can do anything. So it kind of sets up, like, all the weird shit we see later, and there's some fucking weird shit we see later.
Yeah.
But it sets that up as, like, oh, this guy trains in that style, so you can do this fucking weird thing.
But I have to say, the thing that I like next is, you know, when we go to another school, and everybody's standing around talking about this upcoming tournament, yep. And this little Thai guy comes yep. in wearing a headband, and the scars all over his shins that they yep. put on. As soon as he walks on camera and he's got all these scars on his shins, I'm like, yeah, do not fuck with this
yeah.
gentleman.
This is
like,
a bad motherfucker.
He is a dangerous motherfucker.
Well, then he kicks a concrete
like,
block in half.
Just, well, yeah, then he kicks a concrete block with his bare foot. But, like, I did really, really appreciate the fact that he kind of walked into the school and, like I said, his shins were scarred to death. Like, it was really awesome because you know those guys fucking put themselves through that type of
yeah.
training. So
they said that all the time about fighters, like when I watched the UFC and stuff, when I don't know if you saw when Conor McGregor kicked Dustin Poirier and stepped back and his shin snapped. And
oh, fuck.
Remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
And one of the comments was he's throwing hard kicks with his shins, but he clearly hadn't put in the time to train and work and develop that weapon. And that weapon, that shin kick, when you're kicking other people's shins or thighs or butt, like, you have to earn that. You can't, like, if I threw yeah. a, you know, like, those dudes can kick through a baseball bat. If I tried to do that, my fucking tibia would snap in half because I haven't trained it.
Well, that's the thing that's, like, I didn't even know what we were doing, like, my first 3 years when I studied, you know, I studied Wei Chi Ru for 20
yeah.
years. So I remember my first 3 years, they were like, okay, we're going to go do Kotikite. And it's just basically just banging your shins on other shins.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, bang your shins. Okay, thanks. Like, what am I doing here? Just keep going. Just keep going. It's just... We're just gonna kick each other in the shins. We're gonna rub our arms. We're gonna bang our arms together, and we would do that every night for fucking years,
yep.
right? Just banging the forearms together and banging shins, kicking the calves,
yep.
you know, with the toes. Like, so it takes a long fucking time,
yeah.
man. Like a long.
Well, your
time.
Bones, yeah.
And there's nothing glamorous to it at all.
No,
like, it's just. You're literally standing there in your stance, and your partner is kicking your legs and basically your legs and arms for a good 30 minutes every time you go to class. Like, that was a mandatory part of class
yeah.
is, you know, you have to do arm and leg conditioning.
Yeah, I mean, that's that Wolf's Law is a law that says your bones respond to the stresses put upon them. So when you bang the bones like that, whether it's fingers and, like, fists on a makiwara or conditioning like you would do... When you hit it, your bones build up more what are called trabeculae, like that structural type bones within the hollow of the hollow bones, and it makes them more dense and more
oh.
more resilient to being broken. They just fucking don't break. They become more dense, which is why when you get punched by somebody like that or kicked by somebody like that, it just fucking feels different.
Yeah.
So you could tell this guy, this Thai guy, which I was confused. The version that I first watched of this went back and forth between an English dub and not. So when they came to the other school here, when the Thai guy came in,
yes,
he challenges somebody and says, I want to try Eagle Claw Kung Fu. I want to fight that. And but it wasn't in English and they didn't have a dub. And all of a sudden this guy starts doing the Y Crew and the music starts playing like the Thai Y Crew. And I was like, why is he doing the Y Crew dance for Thai boxing? What the fuck? And then he kicks the ass at like four or five guys. And then the girl comes out and she's like, I'll try him. And the owner is like, no, daughter, you're not good enough. And she's like, it's okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And she goes over and starts like eagle clawing his clothes apart. And they fight to a draw. It's actually a pretty good fight, man. Like, for real, it's not bad.
It's actually not bad. And I actually like the father is like, listen, you're just not good enough.
Yeah.
Like, that was some honesty because he almost killed her.
Yeah.
Like, she was good. Like, she definitely was good. But
he had to step in,
this
though.
Guy with his goddamn kicks, like, he steps in and he's like, okay, that was enough of a demonstration. Yeah. Please don't kill my daughter.
Hey, get him a room or some shit. How about that?
Yeah. Get this guy. Yeah, you're in the tournament. Yeah, so basically he just wants to participate in the tournament and basically proves himself such that he may enter.
And then we get the first look at the Indian gentleman. I believe the actor's name
Long
is
Arms.
Wong Wing Sang. is the gentleman's name that plays him. He plays him in, I'm going to call it brownface, because there's obviously no Indian people in Taiwan that are going to be able to play this part, so they just put a Chinese dude in brownface, which it caught me off guard because I had never seen this movie before.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? What is this dude? But it made me think of that Patton Oswalt bit when he talked about, you know, you have to watch a movie in the spirit of the time it was made. Like when you go watch, you know, a John Wayne movie back in the day, and they're like, oh, yeah, some asshole Wokey McWokerson's in the back. Like, oh, yeah, sure, just be assholes to all the Asian people, and oh, let the women do all the fucking work. Like, shut up, fuck. Like, it's a movie from the 40s, Jesus. Like, so this is just, I mean, that's just how they roll. We don't have an Indian guy. Well, paint that guy fucking brown and let him do it. Put a turban on him.
Yeah, that's
how they rolled, so.
Well, we get our blind guy. We get our blind guy showing up.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of gingerly walking into this big restaurant where everybody's eating noodles and all these different things, and he's got a dope beard. Like,
he's got some fucking eyebrows on him too, doesn't he?
Big Suvi eyebrows, like that guy that used to work the McDonald Bridge. So yeah, he comes rolling it in and orders himself some vegetarian noodles. All the while, there just happens to be a gentleman with one arm trying to eat his meal downstairs, and God damn it. Like,
he's being annoyed by flies as he's eating, and then he whacks on the table, and lo and behold, he killed how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh my God, I killed 7 with one blow. It's the what's that name of that Disney and the old Grimm brothers? The Brave Little Tailor or some shit? What was it?
Oh, shit, I can't remember.
Whatever that Grimm story fairy tale is, I can't, I'm blanking on the name of it now, but
yeah,
it's the Mickey Mouse one too, right? I killed 7 with one blow! Like, he does that, and then the fucking innkeeper brings him a chicken, and he just hoves into this fucking full chicken with one hand.
He's eating it far too aggressively to believe that he's a human. Like, I know he's trying to be like, oh, look at me, I have absolutely no couth whatsoever. But, I mean, he's eating it just a little too...
little too aggressively.
A little over the top for me.
And I like how every one-armed man in this movie, you can literally see their gone arm just wrapped around their waist under their shirt.
Yeah.
It's just something that I noticed. It's hilarious. Because, I mean, it's not like...
Yeah, you notice it.
They can't, like, Uncle Dan with a green screen. You know what I mean? So...
Yeah.
Uncle Dan? Lieutenant Dan. Sorry.
Lieutenant Dan.
Uncle Dan.
Uncle Dan. Hey, it's me, everybody. I'm your Uncle Dan. I'm a one-armed asshole. I aggressively eat chickens and then don't pay for them.
But this motherfucker is leaving, and they're like, hey, you were going to leave without paying? You and your stupid one arm? And the blind guy hears this little discussion downstairs and is like, oh, one arm, gets up, opens his goddamn guillotine, throws it from the balcony down, and chops this motherfucker's head off.
Like, listen, I'm not a person to defend anybody for dining and dashing, but I also don't believe that they should get their head fucking sawn off, because he does. Like, immediately he's like, oh, one-armed man, whoomp, and then just fucking cuts his head off.
Needing
that. And then he goes downstairs and he's like, was he the one-armed kung fu master? They're like, no, he was a fucking bum. He was a fucking loser, and you killed him. And he basically just says, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to actually kill every one-armed man in this goddamn town. If you've got one arm, I am going to fucking kill you. Like, he is like What the
He's a
fuck?
Crazy like, person.
He's off the chain, man. He is a crazy person.
An old nutbag that's just on this murder spree. And, like, nobody cares. Nobody cares that he just sawed this dude's head off in a restaurant in front of 50 people.
Yeah, like, in a restaurant. Can you imagine if you went down to the Ponderosa $6.99 all-you-can-eat shrimp, right? And you're just fucking sitting there ordering another plate of shrimp, and a dude gets his head sawn off next to the Sunday bar, you'd be just like, what the fuck?
Like, what did that guy do? Oh, nothing. He just happened to have green eyes. Like, nothing. What?
He
what?
Just happened to, yeah, like, just one physical characteristic, and you're just like, Jesus! I'd be like, are you killing motherfuckers with bow legs? Because I'm a bow-legged motherfucker.
That's right. Anybody with bow legs, I'm going to kill.
Yeah.
That guy just happened to have a small minor defect in his left knee. I don't care. I don't care. I don't give a single shit.
Yeah. I don't give a single shit. I'm going to kill you. So, yeah, he goes hard fucking to the paint with this, I'm killing every one-armed man in town. Like,
yeah, they,
it's a bit
they
much.
They established very clearly that he ain't playing. So, then we cut over to, this is the master, I believe, talking to his daughter. His daughter, I think, wants to enter the tournament as well.
Yes.
And he's like, I don't want you in the tournament, yo. Like, these are going to be bad people. I think that this was the first tournament martial arts movie. I think this movie may have kicked off the entire tournament martial arts movie genre. Like, if you look at Bloodsport or Enter the Dragon or any no. It wouldn't have been.
Enter the Dragon would have been.
Because this was 76, so no, it wouldn't have been, right? Well, no, Enter the Dragon was after this.
No, not after 76. Oh, Bruce died in 73.
What am I, an asshole? Some type of large type asshole?
You? You are a large type asshole.
You are supposed to be a large, smelly
orifice.
I should probably point out
Chad
and I are not experts in the genre of martial arts movies. We just like them.
Oh, I like how you fucked up and then dragged me into it. I was the one that corrected you on Bruce Lee. Oh yeah, this is 76. This is before Enter the Dragon. I'm like, no, motherfucker. Yeah, Chad and I don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
Yeah, you should probably not listen to Chad.
Bitch, I just corrected your ass. You motherfucker. I'm gonna kill all the McCarrans of Rankin Drive.
Right. God damn it.
Circa 1980. I'll be just driving around.
All right. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I just like them. And my memory's going because I'm old as fuck. So I think they cut now to the next day. They open up the actual tournament with the big white blanket enclosed combat area here.
Yeah. I mean, like, listen, I would never, if a movie doesn't have a big budget, like, I would never fucking shit on the set.
Yeah.
This, I don't think, had a big budget. I don't believe it did.
I couldn't actually find any information on that.
The set is what it is. Like, essentially, they've got these cloth pieces of fabric stretched around the circle of this dirt floor where the tournament takes place.
The first...
And honestly, if those pieces of fabric weren't there, you'd probably see buses and shit driving
by. I'm sure that's why they put them up. They're probably in a moderately populated area, and they just walled it off with blankets and shit. So it's a creative way to solve the problem. No judgment. I dig it.
Yeah, no, like seriously, hats off. Yeah. Like, they're like, okay, we gotta, you know, like, there's a goddamn airport.
Yeah, like right
in the background.
There.
This is supposed to be a different time period.
Time in
so,
their flights between takeoffs and landings of fucking DC-3s into Taiwan, Maine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, even there's an airplane in the background of one of the scenes of Braveheart.
Yeah,
they're just
right?
like, oh yeah, this fucking airplane. William Wallace is out there. Oh yes, it's fucking
contrails
1296.
In the sky, like, oh yeah.
Goddamn.
The first fight in the tournament here is a guy with a bow staff against a dude with a three-section staff, which is actually pretty cool. They do a couple of good little back-and-forth whackety-whacks there. And then we get the second fight, which is this dude with a nine-ring broadsword without the rings. It just looks like a broadsword. And he fights the Raiden-looking dude from Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, it's not a bad fight at all. Like, the outfit that the guy with the sword looks like something Jennifer Beals would wear. Like, it's a bit weird because, well, it's kind of weird because it's kind of cut open, so his, like, nipples and chest is exposed.
Much like Jennifer Beals.
much like Jennifer Beals. The Raiden guy looks pretty dope too.
I like him.
It's not a bad fight at all. Like there's nothing really offensively wrong. Like the Jennifer Beals guy,
we'll just call him Jennifer.
Basically, yeah, Jennifer has the tonfas and Raiden's got the sword. They switch back and forth there. It's kind of cool.
But Raiden with the tonfa, his name in the movie is Wins Without a Knife, Yakuma. But secretly, yes, his tonfa, sneaky, they actually have blades in them. And it's, you know what fucking made me laugh, dude? Because Raiden comes into the combat area by jumping up and over the white sheets that surround the combat area. And when he jumps up and over and lands in, they cut over to Jimmy Wang Fu. They cut to Liu. And he goes, good jumping.
He totally
comments on the dude's jump.
Yeah. And then when the knife slides out and stabs guy in the friggin' chest and he dies, he's like, hidden knife.
So he,
not a bad way to win.
So he does have a knife after like all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, man. It's good. It was a good little scrap. Liu is not supposed to be fighting in this tournament. He's actually just there to support his students.
Yes.
So he's just kind of there. And now we get a fight. This is actually, it's good, man. Like, they keep the fights coming, which is kind of cool.
No, I appreciate the fact that the fights go quickly. I mean, there's been a couple of films that we've done where, overall, I feel that those films are superior to this one, and that's my opinion.
Yeah.
But there were spots in those films where there were, like, large passages where there was no fighting whatsoever, and that would have been Chinese Connection and The Octagon specifically that I'm referencing. But this film, like, just it gives you the fights, and these are not the best I've seen. Like, they're not, but at the very least, they're keeping it consistent.
Yeah.
The one thing that's not consistent is the mustache on the guy in this fight, because when he gets there, the corners of his mustache are turned down, and then he gets his ass kicked. And it's like he put the mustache, like it fell off and he stuck it back
upside
on
down.
With the corners turning up. Yeah, it legit looks like it's... There could be a joke that I'm not getting, like a time joke or a cultural joke or whatever. But yeah, his mustache actually reverses. So the points were going down and now they're going up. And I'm like, wait, how did his mustache change? Did he get so... Like, I didn't quite get it. So.
No, and this is an odd ending to the fight here. I don't understand this fight because the long ponytail guy is fighting the Mongol with the mustache. And the ponytail guy wraps his ponytail around Mongol's neck, and Mongol guy picks up ponytail and holds him over his head. And the ponytail is strangling the Mongol guy, who eventually passes out. And ponytail gets declared the winner, but then the judge looks at ponytail and he's bleeding out of his stomach somehow, and then he falls down and they're both dead.
Yeah, the Mongol, I believe, penetrated his body with his fingers.
Oh, did he? Is that what it was? Oh, I missed that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So they both died, so they're both out. Like, this is a brutal tournament.
Oh, yeah, this is a tournament to the death, which is why the daughter's like, Daddy, can I fight in the tournament? He's like, I really don't want you to.
No?
She's like, please.
Yeah, stupid.
He's
bastard.
Like, all right, you can fight in the tournament. Just be careful. And I was like, motherfuckers are dying like crazy. I would not let my kid enter a death tournament. But the next fight is so hilarious because there's a guy that gets down on the ground and fucking kicks the dude in the nuts like five or six times. And it has no effect
on him. No, the strongman guy is like, his dick is impenetrable.
Yeah, he has no nuts or he's wearing some sort of
Some sort of diamond MMA cup. Because this dude gets booted
in the dick.
Hilarious. Again and again.
A lot. Yeah.
And then he...
I don't even know why you'd continue working the dick if, like, it has no effect. This guy's just like, his whole plan is like, I'm going to fucking work that dick until he can't fucking move. And he kicks it a lot, and it has no effect.
No. He gets his leg, like, busted. But he rolls up after he gets his leg busted and tries to kick Homie in the dick again, and Strongman lifts him up by his foot, completely impossibly, and Homeboy Three Stooges, bap, sticks his fingers in his eyes and blows his eyeballs apart, and then that makes Strongman drop him, and he boots him in the cock again, and that's a wrap.
I have to say, like, I feel really bad about saying that this is not my style of film. Like, I feel bad about that, because I don't want to make anybody, like, I don't want to insult anybody who loves this film. But honestly, when... when he comes up and pokes his eye, and then they actually do a low shot of the strongman's two legs standing there, and blood starts to drip down onto the sand. I thought that was a beautiful shot. And when he fell back, like, I thought it was great. I really, really appreciate, like, that I really, really
loved. Yeah, man, like, this is...
I thought it was amazing.
Again, not my style, but I appreciate it, and I, there's parts of this movie that I really dig, man. I really like it, I'll tell you. This, the girl comes out, the gentleman's daughter comes out here now to fight her Eagle Claw style against this bouncy little gymnast dude, little monkey. He's like a monkey style guy.
Oh, yeah, she's Eagle Claw and he's monkey, and it's actually pretty entertaining. There's a, I don't know, there's like a stilted, there's a thing with some of these older movies where it's like, there's a timing or choreography that goes with it, and it's just not my thing. Where it's just like bang, bang,
yeah,
bang. You know what I mean? Like it's obviously timed to a metronome.
But
here's
what I do appreciate though, because I was laughing today. I was watching the bar fight scene from Kill Switch again.
Yeah,
that we did, and here's what I tried to do. I tried to say Seagal, not Seagal. Every time they changed in the edit,
yes,
to who it was, and I was literally going Seagal, not Seagal, 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 not Seagal, not Seagal, not Seagal, Seagal, not Seagal, Seagal, not Seagal, not Seagal, not like back and forth, back like it was that fast. It was ridiculous, and we talked about that at length in the podcast. But here,
yeah, I think the film Kill Switch gave more people epileptic seizures than anything.
Than a fucking
wait,
episode of goddamn Pokemon. But yeah, like this, I appreciate the time the actors put into the choreography of getting it, even though, again, it's slow and obviously choreographed. But I like that there's 3, 4, 5 moves together where you can see in the big wide two shot what they're doing.
Yes.
And they're trying. I dig that stuff, even though, again, not my bag, but I fucking appreciate the work and the choreography put into it because it shows, man. It really shows.
And I actually like, I actually prefer this than the Steven Seagal Kill Switch, where it's that shaky cam, super fast edit. Okay, I'm going to vomit now because I can't fucking make out what's going on the screen. It's just this assault of light.
Yeah. Oh, I'd watch this movie on a loop for the rest of my life rather than watch that fucking piece of shit again.
Yeah.
But now the girl does her Eagle Claw and ends up tearing Monkey Guy's clothes off to the point where he's like, I'm naked, I got to run away. And he runs off and fucks off. It's actually quite good.
Yeah.
Funny. Good little humor break there. And then we get this weird kind of cool moment where these dudes get up on top of the posts, and one of them's got like a rope thing, and the other guy's got this weird kind of a super bend boomerang kukri knife kind of thing.
Yeah, it looks kind of like a boomerang, kind of like a Gurkha. I don't know. There's probably an actual name for it. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, too stupid.
But they put a bunch of, you know, they're supposed to be swords in, and they're basically just cut
like tinfoil
aluminum, I think.
But my man jumps down and stands on them.
Yeah, like there's these posts sticking out of the ground and swords sticking out of the ground, and the first guy runs and jumps and stands on the poles, and the other guy's like, oh fuck this, and jumps up and stands on the tips of the swords, and you're like, well, no, like you're gonna, it's gonna go through your foot.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Well, and it's fun. They get some good shots here from the ground looking up at the blades and the guys standing on the sticks above them. Like,
really good
cool shots
yeah,
man.
For
good
sure.
POV shots. It's a fun little fight. I like the change of venue, so you're not always just having two people out in this big gladiator arena. You know, they have a couple little things here. I like it, man. It's cool.
Yeah.
So, can't disparage them for that. You know, this movie has a 90% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, that's the thing that I found, well, personally, I found odd, because a lot of people love this film and say that this is one of the best martial arts films of all time.
Yeah.
And like, no disrespect to those people, I just didn't feel this.
No.
One. Like, I just didn't.
One, speaking of things I didn't feel, the next fight we have here is the Indian guy, I just call him Arms, against the dude with the two knives.
I think it's... Yeah, this is the inspiration for Dhalsim from Street Fighter 2.
100%. There's no way it's not.
Super stretch. Indian guy with super stretch arms.
It's amazing.
The fight that they do, like, I'm just going to be perfectly honest. I think it's a solid, serviceable fight. It's just that metronome timing where every strike is like bang, 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 bang. I just don't quite get. I just don't quite feel that in the same way that other people do.
No,
I really like the ramping up and slowing down and a little bit more realism to it. It's again, it's just a personal preference.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, if I had to pick what my style is, it's kind of that. It's that John Wick Part One, when he fights, it's quick, it's devastating, and he makes sure they're dead.
Yeah, and you kind of feel it, like you kind of like, oh Jesus Christ, yeah. Like
hits that make you go, oh. Remember, we used to say how many ooh moments we have.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
This movie doesn't have any like ooh moments, other than the first guillotine kill in the restaurant. Like, that one caught me off guard when his head fucking came off, and I was like, Jesus. But these fights where, like, Arms and this double knife guy, it's a funny fight. And, like, the long shot when he stretches his arms for the first time and you get the posts and the blades in the ground and the fucking guy's arms are, like, 10 feet long and he's fighting the dude and they're way off in the background. Fuck, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Well, he kind of looked like a praying mantis. And... Yeah. You know, I'm sure there's people that absolutely love this. It didn't quite suspend my disbelief. I was just like, oh, okay, this is what we're watching. I do appreciate how it's actually shot. Like, it's, for what it is, it's actually done quite well. Like, there's a couple of times where it's clearly rubber hands when, like, it's a wide shot. And there's a couple of other times where they actually use another person's hands because the fingers are moving naturally. So, you know, there's another guy, like, just out of frame with his hands in there trying to make them look a little bit more realistic. So I really appreciate what they're trying to do. I'm just like, oh, okay. Well, this is... Oh, he's got the ability to fucking triple the length of his arms.
Stretch, like, Armstrong himself out there, like, and like, all
honestly,
right.
If I could do that, if I literally could do that, I would not be a fighter. I'd be just at home all the time on Tinder and then, like, stretching my dick three times, finding the ladies.
I'd just never have to... you'd never have to get up again. Right?
Yes.
Like, Mr. Burns.
Need to get up again.
Wouldn't have to get up.
Right? Yeah.
So we get the next fight that rounds up here after the yoga master Arms. He beats his opponent by literally holding him like 10 or 12 feet away from him and just choking him unconscious around the neck. Like, yeah. The guy can't move closer to get to him.
Yeah. Like, he's switching it.
Bravo, sir. Like, well played strategy wise.
Yeah, well, I mean, what could you do, really?
Yeah, nothing. You just do that little brother hand on the forehead move, and you'd be like, fuck, I can't do anything.
Yeah.
Smack
he actually
you
murdered
face.
His little brother, and that's how he learned he had the power.
And now we get Kung Fu against the Thai boxer. We know it's the Thai boxer because they always play the Thai music.
Yeah, and they show his shins.
And they show the shins, yes.
Close up on his shin scars, which are pretty dope, to be honest.
It does look cool. And I like the old school 1970s kung fu moves where the dude just hits the poses. Wah-dah! Like, his hands are up and all the moves. It's fucking hilarious, man. He stabs the kung fu guy stabs the Thai boxer in the hands with, like, crane pokes with his fingers, like, beep, and it fucking makes his hands bleed.
Yeah, he gets stigmata from that. It is. There's a couple of things there where he hits him in the back and there's like a half second pause before he actually punches front and reacts to getting hit. Like, it's good. It's just not fantastic, in my opinion. Like, that's...
No. I do like when the Thai boxer flicks the dirt in the dude's face and then elbows him and grabs him in the clinch and knees his face and he just kicks the living crap
out
of
this
dude.
Is probably my favorite fight because he's actually kicking inside and outside of his shins. Right? Like, the Thai guy is, like, kicking inside, kicking outside with those, you know, those low round kicks.
Yep.
And then comes up with, like, I think he does, like, a jumping knee or something like that. But it's actually a real, like, there's no wires and he's, like...
No, it's like a big jumping round kick that knocks dude's head off.
Yeah, like, he actually does what he's doing. wire free. So I actually like that. Again, there's a couple of like timing things and a couple of misses, but overall I thought it was good.
Yeah, man, it looks all right.
It's definitely the most realistic fight, other than the stigmata hands. The most realistic fight so far.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you can't do a lot with the stretchy arms or the fucking Tonfa knives. But now we get the one-armed guy, one-armed bandit, Liu, got a note a little while ago in the stand. Somebody brought him over a note. I forget what it said. Your skill is unmatched and blah, 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 so you got to come and fight in our tournament or something. Yeah. And now Liu has to actually fight with one arm against this kung fu guy here now. And the choreography for a guy only having one arm is pretty good, man. Like, this fight's pretty cool.
It actually is. Like, it's a little bit more grounded. These guys are squaring off, and he does the, well, in Japanese, it's called the nukite. Just basically the spear hand, where he drives the fingers straight into his opponent's neck. And it looks good. Like, it sells well. Like, he's just like, whoomp! And he drives that in there and pops him right in the neck. And it looks solid. Like, I was quite impressed with that particular fight too. Again, I just prefer the realism, and it's just it's just something that I was like, oh fuck, that was pretty good. But that was one of the many one-armed guys in town. Like, one of many. Yeah.
Speaking of that, because the one-armed man wins his fight here, and as he wins, they're like, hey, this guy wins. And what's his face? Fu shows up, blind guy, on top of the judges panel here, and sees, oh, there's a one-armed guy that won a fight. Well, let me tear his fucking head off. And throws the flying guillotine down and kills the wrong guy, pops the wrong dude's head off.
Oh, he popped the head off. Like, it's not the wrong guy, because he's out to decapitate every person with one arm. So,
But the one-armed guy fought the kung fu dude, and the guy that Fu kills doesn't have one arm. Like, the one-armed fighter is Liu, right? Who won the fight. He just threw it and hit the fucking wrong dude.
No. That was just a different one-armed kung fu guy.
One-armed kung fu guys?
There's many. There's many. That's actually not. That's actually not
that's
our
not
protagonist.
Liu?
No.
Oh my god!
No, that was
I'm
just
out of the
another.
Loop, goddammit.
That was just another one-armed guy that happened to be in the tournament.
Oh, I'm such an asshole.
Because Liu, when Liu gets the note, it's like, hey man, join the tournament. He's like, oh no, fuck this noise. I got shit to do, boys. And he leaves. And then they're like, okay, well, we got another one-armed guy anyway. Let's put that motherfucker in. So it's another one-armed guy. And that's when Wu shows up. He's like, one-armed? Oh, I'm going to fucking decapitate this asshole. And does. And then all shit breaks loose. And then he just starts fucking shit up. And cuts
one-armed
daughter.
Fu starts killing everybody.
Yeah, and then he starts throwing his goddamn explosive smoke bombs everywhere, fucking up all their tournament. Like, he's just like,
yeah, he kills the tournament runner. He kills the dude's daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
Standing there with his swastika on his chest.
Yeah.
And yes, by the way, I know that the swastika is a Buddhist symbol of good fortune.
Yes.
And
like, I wasn't going to bring that up because
fucking
that. Yeah, like, I met a guy with a shaved head at a bar about 3 years ago with a swastika tattooed in the back of his head. And I was like, Jesus. And he was like, actually, this is a symbol of, and then he went on. And I was with my friend who's Indian, and he points to my friend and he's like, you should know this. My friend's like, I don't know this. I was born here. I don't know shit. So
like Brandon Lee in Showdown in Little Tokyo. I'm from the Valley.
Yeah, I'm from the Valley.
I know malls.
This guy's like, I'm from Sackville. I don't know shit about your symbols. But yeah, that's actually a different one-armed. That's a completely different one-armed guy.
Well, I'm an asshole. Clearly, I don't know what I'm talking about. He gets his head pulled off by Fu because he's got the flying guillotine. And the Liu guy goes back to his school here after the whole tournament gets thrown into disarray by Fu and throwing his firebombs everywhere. And when Liu goes back to his school here,
he's standing in front of the students and he's like, listen, I have something here I want to say. So he's doing the flashback from the previous film where he fought the guys.
He's fighting the students of Fu.
Yeah.
The two llama. Goddamn. Dude, the Foley is amazing in this.
The Foley is the same fucking noise. Boom, boom,
Yeah, boom, over and over and
boom,
over.
Boom, 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 boom.
But, like, this is one of those movies that is the catalyst for people making fun of that in later comedy movies where people make those noises, like opening car doors and shit.
Yes.
You know, woof, 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 and you're, like, just making a piece of toast in the morning.
Like, the guy he's fighting looks like he's wearing one of those inflatable fucking sumo suits from the
90s. He totally
90s.
Does.
Do you
he
remember
totally
when
does.
Those came out? Those became popular? It's like, why is he wearing a fat suit? He looks like fucking Weird Al in Fat.
He's totally wearing a fat suit because he's not that big. Like, you can tell by his legs and arms and shit.
You can tell by
his
face.
Literally inflated. Ever since I killed those two disciples, I've expected this.
Yeah, I've expected this.
I knew killing those two men would come back on me. Well, probably not, dude, because Fu ripped the head off like three people already, and nobody gives a fuck about that. So,
well, I knew that killing those men would someday cause me problems. Yeah, no shit. It's called murder. It's called murder, man. Like, how long? Like if I drove down to the McDonald's right now and, like, just walked in and murdered the next guy in line and then just walked out and left. How long do you think it would take before the cops showed up at my address? Like, it wouldn't
like
be long.
14 minutes.
They'd be like, oh, that was fucking Chad. You know, that guy from the internet? Yeah, he came in, stabbed that guy that was ordering the fucking taste of the month, and then he fucked off. He lives in Middle Sackville. Go get that man.
Go get that motherfucker. Go ask anybody in Middle Sackville where to find Chad.
I'm the only Chad in this town.
Yeah, not a common name.
Yeah, there's not too many Chads living in the 5,000 population of Middle Sackville. So.
Dude, it's fucking hilarious when he gives the talk. Liu gives the talk to his students about, you know, I murdered those guys and it's going to come back. And the fucking C's of the students part and the Thai boxer comes in playing his fucking flute and dancing.
Yeah.
From the background coming into the foreground. It's hilarious. It's like Toot from the old fucking Hercules cartoon.
Honestly, like, honestly, A, it's fucking stupid. B, I want this man to enter every room before me going forward. Like,
oh, I
want to
do this forever.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I legitimately want this guy to come out playing his little fucking horn and doing his knee raises before I enter every room.
Does that dude look like Asian Charles Bronson, or is it me?
He kind of looks like Asian Charles Bronson. Like, if he had the stash, he would do it. And I got to tell you, Charles Bronson was kind of like this classic, oh yeah, I'm just like this tough guy, until we got to Death Wish 3, where he literally shot a gangster with a rocket launcher from 5 feet away and sent him through a window. So, you know, maybe this guy is going to be on that same trajectory.
This Thai boxer guy is very good, like, martial arts wise. Like, I can't knock this dude. His kicks are solid, man. Like, he's
no, this
good.
Guy, this guy's actually really good. Like, he's working with the kung fu guys, but his stuff is easily the most realistic looking stuff in this entire film.
Yeah, that's a guy named Chen Qianpo, and he's very clearly a good martial artist. And he's whooping this dude's ass in the dojo here. But then Fu shows up, smashes through the window with his friggin' guillotine, and starts chucking that shit around.
Yeah, Fu jumps through the fucking rice paper wall, like, I don't know, 12 feet from the ground, like, smashes through, throws his guillotine, and kills somebody as his entrance. It's a pretty great way to get people's attention when you enter a room, for sure.
And Liu is trying to be quiet so that Fu doesn't hear him move, and we get that crazy shot of Fu with the guillotine and his goddamn prehensile ear that's moving around trying to listen. It's fucking hilarious.
It's actually, yeah. It doesn't look too bad, though. Like, it
no, like, for
like
a prosthetic,
it looks
amazing.
It's not too bad. And there's a couple of scenes where there's these wooden slats, like in these, you know, like in the design of the room. And he throws the hat through the slats, smashing it. So the guillotine goes through and takes him out. It's actually good.
It is good. I like it. The ear thing made me laugh, which I think it was supposed to. Like, I think that was played for comedy because it's fucking hilarious.
Dude, I don't think it was played for comedy. I really don't. I think they were playing that as serious as fuck. I think that's
pretty goddamn funny.
Fuck.
Now, I thought that Fu killed the tournament runner's daughter. But she shows up here because Raiden saved her life.
Yeah, she got cut really bad, but she took it across like a shoulder, arm.
Yeah, like her right shoulder
chest
got
area.
Fucked up by it.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't actually show her die earlier, but they do show her get the guillotine across the body.
Well, they show her, like, do that. Sometimes they show dudes die by, like, they kind of, like, a quarter of the way sit up and go, like, and then they just kind of drop.
Yes.
And that's how they die. And that's what she does. So I was like, oh, she's dead. But this Raiden-looking dude, Tonfa Man, wins without a knife. Yakuma saved her life and brought her here and kept her alive. So now she is pissed at Fu, right, for killing her dad?
Yeah, there's this whole thing. There's this whole weird thing where there's something to the effect that he's like, I saved your life and now you're my wife or something like
that. Something like that. Because he says you're a good fighter and maybe if you trained with me, you'd be even better or something like that. Like he tries to want to train with her.
Yeah, like I'm being completely serious. I would not want some sort of slave. Like, if I save somebody's life, and I was like, oh, now that person,
you're mine.
You know, you own that person now. You could tell them to do whatever you want. I'd be like, yeah, no, nah, I'm not interested. Like, you know, like when Jerry Seinfeld, when they're like, hey, Lloyd Braun can get you this gum. He's like, yeah, not necessary. Like, no, I'm good. I'm good. But this guy's like, oh, I saved your life. You need to come with me now, and I'll complete your training, and you'll be my wife and all this shit. I'd be like, fuck that.
How about no, loser? Take your tonfa somewhere else. But anyway, she goes and meets Liu here in this barn. And he plans to meet her later at some point to kind of get together and do their thing. Liu goes back to the dojo, dismisses his students. And all of a sudden, Indian yoga master guy comes in. And you know it's him because you hear the sitar music.
Like but I do have to say, like, after I watch this, I really want to walk around with an owl on my shoulder. Like, that was fucking badass. He's got a baby owl, like, resting on his shoulder as he fucking walks about.
Not only does he have it on his shoulder, he uses it as a fucking weapon.
Well, that's the thing. That's where I was going. But he walks over to a lantern. This is actually really cool. Like, I know I fucking said that this really doesn't do it for me, but he walks over, there's a lantern, and he reaches up and his arm stretches and he takes the lantern and throws it at the altar, which catches it on fire. And then the baby owl flies out and attacks. Like, it's pretty cool. I actually like this a lot.
It's crazy funny. Like, when I saw him walk in with the goddamn baby owl on his shoulder, I was like, what in the shit is happening? And then he extends his arm and grabs the fucking light, the oil light, chucks it, and then throws the fucking owl at the guy. I was like, oh my God, this is insanely awesome. Like, it made me laugh, legitimately laugh. And now he has a good little fight with Liu here with the one-armed bandit.
Yeah.
They have a decent little, again, it's a back and forth, it's kind of tat, 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 tat metronome thing, like you said. And then the arms, dude, the arms come into it.
He fucking looks like a praying mantis. Like, the arms are pretty funny. Like, they really are.
His elbows are where they would normally be on a normal arm.
Well, this is where they do the shot where they actually have a guy off camera wiggling the fingers, which actually looked good. Like, they did this long perspective shot. That actually looked good. But when he's got the wooden arms, they kind of look fake, but he ties them up and does a fucking kick and breaks it at the elbow. Like, that was actually, it was satisfyingly hilarious. Like, it was decent.
It was great. I enjoyed that part. I enjoyed the defeat of the yoga master. But then, the Thai master walks in with Fu. And now we got to have a serious showdown between the Thai master and Fu. And Liu here.
I actually think the Thai Master is my favorite guy in this film. Like, he seems the most legit. As entertaining as the guy with stretchy arms and the baby owl, like, I fucking love that. Like, I want an owl now. Like, I really want an owl. Like, that's what this film made me want. But I really think that the Time Master, like, his stuff looks the most legit on screen. Like, it does.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no argument for me on that. I think his fighting style looks great, and his kicks particularly look really great. He sells them. He really turns his hips into the kicks really well, and it really sells on screen. So I quite like him a lot. He's probably...
Yeah, dude, like I said earlier, there's a couple where he's going fucking low to the inside of the fucking shin. Like, you know, inside, outside, inside. Like, I'm just like, those are some good solid kicks that would deliver a lot of fucking pain to the opponent.
Yeah, oh my God, yeah. Especially with those shins. Jesus.
Yeah.
Did you know that the TV show Mythbusters actually had an episode where they tried to make a flying guillotine weapon?
Are you fucking serious? That's awesome.
They actually did it. Tori, I don't know if you remember Tori from the show, but he used it and he got it to work and cut something with it. Like, I forget what he cut, a melon or something. But it wasn't practical in any sense at all. But they did get it to work, though.
Well, I mean, you know, you could put a lot of work into building something like that. Or you could take, like, a regular item, like a plumb bob, put it on a chain, and fucking swing it into somebody's head, and that's going to fucking kill them immediately. Immediately.
Yeah. You sink that into somebody's forehead, you know, they're going down.
Yeah, like I was at work the other day. Well, I was at work the other day, and there was, like, a fucking spike for splitting large pieces of wood, because the company I work for sells, you know, forestry products. And I was like, holy shit, what the fuck is this, boys? And they're like, oh, that's for splitting wood. And I said, Jesus, you could put a chain on this and fucking launch it at somebody and kill them. And everybody looked at me like I was a fucking psychopath.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that when I walk through hardware stores.
Yeah.
Because I walk through hardware stores, and most of the time I'm like, oh, you could kill somebody with that and that. And that you could, but you'd have to modify it in this way. And my wife thinks I'm a crazy person.
Yeah, yeah. All these guys at work are like, what? And I was like, yeah, this fucking splitter. I said, you know, just put a chain on it. I said, get some momentum going, and you could fucking put it right through somebody's skull. And they were just like, why would you do that? And I was like, well, I wouldn't actually do it. I'm just saying that you could do it if you really
somebody were to
committed.
Break into my house and I had to.
Yeah. If you were committed,
this was
I could
within
kill somebody
arm's reach.
With these tools.
Yeah.
I'm like, Jesus.
People say that to me all the way. Well, you know, somebody breaks into your house, what could you use as a weapon? I'm like, fucking anything. The mic stand I'm with right now has like a 4-pound metal base on it. I could swing that shit and cave somebody's face in. Like,
there is a single sigh hanging by my front door next to my keys. Like, there's one at my front door and there's one at my back door. I'm like, fuck, I don't think I'll ever need the pair. Like, fuck.
No.
So I've got one hanging at my front door and I've got one sigh hanging at my back door just in case shit goes down.
Yeah. I've got my back door comes into my kitchen and that's where all the knives are.
Yeah.
And my front door, I've got the aluminum shaft of a lacrosse stick.
Well, that'll do it.
Enjoy that. And then my bedroom, I've got my little mini Hello Kitty pink baseball bat that's aluminum.
Hello Kitty.
I like the irony of beating somebody to death with a Hello Kitty bat. I think that's hilarious.
That
would definitely
amazing.
Make it into the news story.
Yes.
Anyway, we get the Lou and the girl. I don't know what the girl's name is, and I should, but I actually didn't have that in the... I couldn't figure out what her name was, so I suck for that. I apologize. But the girl and Liu here are sitting, and they see the guy chopping the bamboo with the axe, and Liu realizes, like, oh, the blade's too, you know, the wood's too hard, the bamboo's too tough for the blades, and it's wrecking it, so the blades on the flying guillotine aren't that thick, so we gotta just use something to dull or break the blades, and then he'll be useless, and we could kick his ass.
Honestly, that was the funniest fucking line of the movie, because there's a guy with a fucking hatchet chopping bamboo, literally, literally 25
like
feet from where they're sitting, right? And he's chopping the bamboo, and he's doing it like he's doing it perpendicular to the growth of the wood, if you know what I mean, right? Like, he's not coming on a 45, he's not trying to slice it, he's chopping straight across, and he's like, you know what? it's fascinating how bamboo can dull the blade of a weapon. And she looks at him and goes, well, what made you think of that? And it's just like, bitch, like 20 feet away, there is literally a guy with an axe chopping bamboo right now. Like, I'm looking at him right now. How do you not see that? That's the question. How do you not see that?
Oh, that's hilarious. I think her name is Doris Lung, is her name. But yeah, that's fucking hilarious that she's... They're looking at him. Both of them are looking at the guy. Why would you say that? And then Lung goes into this woodworker's shop. It's a casket maker. That's the casket maker's place that they go into here. And he starts to set up these traps, these spring-loaded... fucking spring-loaded hatchet throwers to trap.
Yeah, this is where it gets... This is where it gets crazy and awesome at the same time. It's like, oh yeah, I'm building yes. these spring-loaded hatchet-throwing coffins to take out the man with the guillotine hat that's killing everybody in town with one arm. Okay, all right. I see where you're going with this.
If you pitch me that, yeah, all right, I'm in. I'm willing to watch the end of this movie. You know,
yeah,
holy shitballs, dude! Like, we've only got like 15 minutes left, and we've got two big fights left to go because he's got to beat the Muay Thai guy, and he's got to beat the Master of the Flying Guillotine to finish off this movie with a bang, as it were. So Leung and I don't know the character's name of the girl, but the Doris Lung girl, they talk to their students, and okay, we got to wrap this up, and then the horn, the fucking horn guy plays the horn, and it calls the Muay Thai guy to come running around the corner.
Again, like fucking... it's another thing. It's another thing that I want. I want a fucking horn that I can toot.
And summon a fighter.
And summon a fucking TIE fighter. Just like a little fucking, like, honestly, I don't even care. Like a 105 to 108 pound, fully grown man TIE fighter. Like, that'd be fucking dope, man. That'd be dope. A little tiny,
like,
micro flyweight guy just shows up and just starts kicking people with his rebar shins. I would fucking love that. I would do that
kick
all
the
time.
Out of somebody.
Yeah. You know, somebody giving me some fucking shit at work. Like, they didn't, they you know, they took the last coffee and didn't, you know, make a new pot of coffee. I'm just like, motherfucker. It's like, how do you like your fucked up ankles, Steve?
That's like the martial arts version of Larry Tate, fucking office linebacker.
Oh, Terry Tate, office linebacker.
Terry Tate, yeah. Sorry, yeah. These last two fights are crazy, because especially this TIE fighter one. This one's bad because they lure this dude, the TIE fighter, into this house. All the students are around the house protecting the windows with fucking spears so he can't jump out the windows. And they light a goddamn fire under the house, and they replace the floor with metal, and Thai guy is in goddamn bare feet.
Yeah, this...
So
this,
the floor just gets hotter and hotter and hotter.
This is kind of weird. Like, this is like a torture house. Like, they have this little tiny house that's about the size of a shed. And like you said, it's got metal floors, and then it's got little grooves cut in the ground filled with firewood and shit, and they just keep stoking the fire. The inside has a metal floor, and now they're making them fight in this shed while the floor just keeps getting hotter and hotter as they continue to stoke the fire.
And the guys, like the Liu, is just like stepping on his feet and holding his feet to the ground.
Yeah.
And every time he drops, he gets burnt, and he tries to jump out the window, and the spears come in. Like, it's a decent fight, but the whole time I'm like, fuck, that's mean. Like, that's just mean.
Yeah, I was like, that's cheating, man. Like, that's fucking legit.
You're kinda
cheating,
brother. Like,
like, if yeah, one arm, okay, I know you asshole. Only have one arm, but at the same time, you are wearing shoes. Like, you're wearing shoes. He's got bare feet. He's hopping around as you guys continue to stoke the fire to make it hot and not allow him to escape. It's kind of like something out of a fucking, like, Jigsaw fucking movie.
Yeah, you know? Saw thing.
Yeah.
He jumps up and grabs the rafter to hold himself up, and homeboy just grabs his foot and pulls him back down. I was like, dude, come on, man. Like,
yeah, come on. Like, this is...
Come on, man.
Like, are you going to feel, are you gonna feel good about this wind? Honestly, like right? The special effects that they do to like the burning on the bottom of his feet and hands is actually really like it's really, really good. Like I know that I'm like, yeah, this film's okay to me personally, but the fucking makeup was really, really good. Like it was on fucking point, man. Like it's really good.
His fist, his hands, when he turned his hands over and showed his burnt fucking hands was good enough that I went, Jesus. Like it looked like his hands were just blistered to shit. And then he does his special, I'm going to punch through your goddamn chest thing and kills him and cooks him to death and then runs outside and Lou jumps into a bucket of water because his feet were burning off with shoes on.
Yeah. And that's kind of like, and I'm not even like fucking angry at it. Like that is kind of like an old trope where somebody runs out and jumps in a bucket of water or puts their hand in water and a bunch of fucking steam comes up. Oof. Like that's legitimately a thing. But then they cut to his Thai feet.
Fucking horrific feet.
They are destroyed. It's not nice.
No, it's not nice at all. They carry this sautéed dead Thai guy off
sautéed
to dispose
feet.
Of his body.
Yeah, would you like some Thai satay? What? Yeah, it's a guy's feet.
This guy's feet on a stick. See, they don't have to fight the Tonfa guy.
Oh, yeah, he shows up with his little
metal raiden hat. He doesn't fight him, though, right? Because he's helping the girl.
Well, no, he shows up and says, listen, I'm going to make a deal with you right now. We'll just forget everything as long as this fucking woman comes with me. And she's like, hey, I don't know.
Right,
want to
he
come
needs
with
his
you.
Slave.
Yeah, he just like, I'm here to get my slave with pigtails. And she's like, yeah, why don't you go fuck yourself?
But I like.
And your hat.
I like the way she says, yes, you did save my life, and I owe you my life, but I'm not coming with you still.
Well, that's what I'd say.
Thanks. But I don't owe you the rest of my life. Like, fuck straight off with all that. And then he takes out his bladed Tonfa and has to fight Liu.
Honestly, I think I'm going to say fuck straight off to the next person I talk to.
Fuck straight off with all that shit.
Fuck straight off.
There's a good little stunt here where Tonfa guy jumps up and collapses the thatched awning.
Yeah, it's not bad. Never mind that. Like,
it's a quick shot, but the Tonfa guy's pretty good with them sticks, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of like speed ramping and stuff like this in here. It's not, again, there's nothing wrong with this fight. Like, technically, there's nothing wrong with it per se. It just, I don't have the emotional investment. You remember, like, we need emotional content.
Emotional
I just don't
content.
Quite get that with this fight.
No. No, and to be frank, I don't get it with the movie, like, as a whole. Like, I watch it and it's fun, but I don't get that, like, I'm invested in the characters.
Yeah, yeah.
We should point out that the students run away here and go through the tunnel and trip the tripwire that the Thai guy jumped over earlier and they blow up.
You mean the completely obvious tripwire? That's not just.
Oh, it's a rope.
A
it's not
wire.
Even a tripwire. It's a rope.
It's a fucking half inch white rope in a cave at about waist level. Yeah, it's a bit high. Seems high.
Yeah. The Liu kills Tonfa guy here with a solid punch to the guts. And then Fu, the guillotine master, shows up and Liu hides in the bamboo bamboo stakes that they put in the grass here. And the guillotine master, Fu, starts throwing and hitting these bamboo stakes.
Actually, and this is
dull the blades.
Yeah, this is really good. Like, it really is. They basically
cool.
took a bunch of bamboo. They stuck it on the ground. He's standing amongst all of these pieces of bamboo. As he's throwing the flying guillotine, he's grabbing a piece of bamboo. And as the hat drops down, it basically just lands on top of the bamboo. And he saws it, and the blade gets duller and duller at each pass. So,
and all the internal blades break off on the bamboo.
Yeah. All of his internal blades are gone. Now, the external blades.
But then he starts throwing the shock bombs at him.
Honestly, I don't know what those fucking things are, but I want some a lot. Like, I really want some of these exploding.
Oh, I want a fistful of them right now.
I used to buy these German stink bombs, and I used to just drop them if there was like a long lineup at a bar or whatever, and they would stink so bad. It would sound like, it would smell like somebody shit themselves. And yeah, people would run. They were called like Der Stinkenbomben or something like that, but I used to buy them in Dartmouth, and they were fucking brutal.
At the magic shop?
Yeah, at that shop on Windmill Road. It was the best.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know where that is.
You'd drop one of those and everybody That's would hilarious. Fucking run.
These guys run off. The bamboo gets all cut down. They run off. They run through the village a little bit here. And Liu goes into the kind of final place here where all the birds are. It's like a, I don't know if this is an animal sanctuary or a place where you can just go buy birds in a cage or whatever the fuck. But
I don't know. I think they just wanted birds. Like,
yeah, he's trying to lead him eventually to the coffin maker's place. But we end up making a little stopover in the bird sanctuary here.
Yeah.
And Liu's being super quiet.
Yeah, he's standing completely still. Like, that's the thing. This dude, he does not have the sense of sight, but his other senses are incredibly astute, far more than a regular human. So he's standing completely still. And honestly, that blade would fuck you up bad if he touched you.
Oh, and he's got them prehensile ears.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's got them ears. Moving.
But he's still got the blades on the outside of the flying guillotine. So he can throw that shit and it sticks into walls. And Liu goes into the pigeon enclosure here, opens the doors, and the pigeons just swarm foo.
There's a couple, like,
and now he can't hear.
There's a couple of beautiful slow motion shots there. Like, not all of them, but there's a couple.
There are, yeah.
Angles that are really quite good. But yeah, he can't hear shit because, well, he can. But, you know, Liu's sound is masked by the plethora of pigeons flying about.
Plethora. And Fu kicks Liu through the wall here, and we end up in the coffin maker's store with all the coffins lined up, stood up along the walls here. And because there's a giant fucking hole in the wall, all the birds fly in. So now we've got coffins and birds and axes hidden away. It's nuts.
Every time there's something about this film that I really like, there's something that takes me out. His ridiculous eyebrows take me out.
They look literally like cotton balls, fanned out and brushed with a fine brush.
Yes.
And just stuck on the dude's face.
Yeah, they're not. I've never seen a human with eyebrows that come close to that. Like Suvi, the guy
no,
that
I've
works
seen
at the bridge,
with like halves,
had, yeah. had long eyebrows, but they weren't nearly this long.
No, they weren't nearly this long. I knew a guy once who had legitimately about half of what this dude's are.
Yeah, that's dope. Yeah,
but
that's...
yeah, it was pretty good, actually. It was impressive. Liu now is hanging upside down in the coffin maker's place, and he's got like a fistful of rocks or some shit, like pebbles, and he's just tossing
yeah.
them around, and every time he hits something, the guillotine master starts throwing the guillotine and hitting stuff.
I thought that was great because, yeah, he's hanging up in the rafters. He's throwing these little pebbles around the room. And now the guillotine master is throwing the guillotine and it's hitting coffins. And then when he pulls it back, they're baited with a trap. And
baited with the hatchet launchers.
Yeah, so hatchets are coming out at him. But, dude, in a second... he fucking does. He does a 360-degree head spin, man. Much like the owl, which, I don't know, man. I just don't swallow this stuff, man. I just don't.
No, I know. It's the same thing with me. I don't swallow it either. I find it hard to buy. Even though the universe has been set up well, in my head, I'm still like, oh, fucking, come on, man. Like, it doesn't sell with me, and I have a hard time with it.
Yeah, and I'm not even saying, you know,
but again,
it's particularly
I appreciate
bad. Yeah, like, they're just like, okay, let's do a special effect where he spins his head 360 degrees, and you're just like, well, no, you can't do that. Like, that would fucking kill you. That killed
That's
the guy
how your neck
in
breaks.
Showdown Little Tokyo.
Right? The guillotine finally breaks here after Fu gets, like, two or three hatchets stuck in him.
Yeah.
And now we're down to... hand-to-hand stuff, or I guess
hands-to-hand. Yeah.
Hands-to-hand. And a decent little ending scrap here with the hand-to-hand stuff.
Yeah.
And a hell of a finishing punch.
Yeah, like, overall, it's... I don't know. It's not bad. It's just not the stuff that I like. It's just like, fuck. It, you know, for the stuff that I don't like, it's done well.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's done well. For something that that's not in my particular wheelhouse, I can certainly see the appeal of it.
Yeah.
And I get why it's a classic. I totally get that. And the martial arts are cool. The acting is pretty good overall, to be honest. And the finishing move here is kind of cool, where he punches, Liu punches Fu up through the roof, and Fu lands in the coffin outside after Liu kicks it outside. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that superhuman stuff. Like, you know, we just did Chinese Connection two podcasts ago. And, yes. You know, the things that we didn't like were the real superhuman stuff. Like, the real outlandish superhuman stuff. And that's not to say that,
yeah,
you know, like, nobody should ever do that. It's just, like, that's just what I dig. And just didn't quite do it for me. And this film is almost all superhuman stuff, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very much like that. So, he just did the purple nurple thing. Gave him the death purple nurple, where he tears his titty.
Honestly, if two guys are fighting in kung fu and one of them can pull off a purple nurple, then go for it. Like, it's not...
Yeah, kudos.
I don't think it's going to kill you, but it's also not going to feel good.
No. We get a throwback to the running up the wall thing here. He does that at the end.
Yeah.
Kind of cool little... I did like that little payoff of showing him actually using that in a fight.
You know what? Yeah, you make a good point. Yeah.
The final hatchet goes into Fu's stomach, and then we get the little final slow motion of the Fu throws sort of a double downward hammer fist, and Liu just wobbity-bobbity punches him in the chest, and he flies. I don't know how he punches him straight, and Fu flies up and out the goddamn
roof. Again, that's the... Fuck, dude.
But whatever,
like,
it's no big deal.
I don't want to sound like an asshole, but yeah, he throws a straight punch, hits him in the chest, and he flies straight up through the roof. And lands in a coffin outside.
That Liu punched and sent outside. And then Liu just lays the funeral charms or the papers over top of him. I assume that's like a respect, sort of Bruce laying the gi over Chuck at the end of Return.
Yeah, without...
And that's a wrap, dude. That's end.
Emotional content. Without the end of it. I mean, again, it's... It's a film a lot of people love. I think it's done very well. I think it's done competently.
Yep.
It's not my bag. That's basically it.
Not my bag, but I'm going to try and rate it as though, like, as a movie apart from my own personal preferences.
Yeah, of course. So,
all right, so let's get into that then. What do you got for music and soundtrack and Foley for this one?
Dude, like, for me... I'm going to go 2 fists out of 5 for that, just because the Foley is so repetitive, right?
Yeah.
I'm okay with Foley being a little off, but it was like the same sounds over and over again.
Yeah. It reminded me of, there was a story about the guys that did Best in Show, and they said one of them went up on stage to do stand-up, and he had a guitar, and... He just literally tuned his guitar for like 7 minutes.
Yes, yes.
Barrel, 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 barrel. Which, if you do that for 12 seconds, it's like, okay, he's tuning his guitar. Then you do it for 30 seconds or a minute, and you're like, okay, this is hilarious that he's taking this long.
Yeah.
And then it becomes annoying.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, fucking, can we get to the show, please?
Fuck.
Can we just move on?
Yeah. Stop
and get to the
guitar.
Goddamn show, please. But then you get to 6.5 minutes, and it's the funniest shit you've ever seen in your fucking life.
Yes, it
right?
comes
because
around.
Now, that is the show. It comes back around to, this is the funniest shit ever. That's where it got to with the Foley, with this movie for me, where it was funny, and then it was kind of annoying. And by the end, I was laughing. So for music soundtrack Foley, I'm going to go 2.5.
It's like if you had the Wilhelm scream in a film, like over and over again. Like, constantly.
Yes.
But yeah, I understand your point 100%.
Acting for this, I'm actually going fairly high. I'm going to go 3 fists out of 5 for this. Definitely better than... Actually, I'm going to go 3.5 fists out of 5 for acting. The acting's not bad at all. There's no part of the acting that took me out. Some of the costuming took me out, but the acting actually didn't. So I'm going to go 3.5 fists out of 5 for acting for this.
I'm going to go 2.5 fists out of 5 for acting. I just because for the simple reason that I don't think there was anything that was really bad, but I also don't think there was anything that was really, really good. Like, there's a couple of moments where I was like, oh, that was nice, but I don't think there was any really gold for me in the acting here. So I'm going to go 2.5 fists out of 5 for acting.
Fair enough. Martial arts. Okay, I mentioned earlier that this has a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. There's an 87% audience score. And I think that's for the movie as a whole and that people appreciate classic sort of Hong Kong style martial arts. And in line with that style, it's got a wide range of martial arts. It's got innovative stuff with respect to styles and superhuman stuff, like with the yogi guy. So I'm gonna go again, 3.5 fists out of 5. I'm gonna try and again, my own personal bias is gonna come into this, although I said it, I'm gonna try and not do that. My own personal bias, because we're reviewing it, has to come into it. So I gotta go 3.5 fists out of 5. I appreciate it. It's a classic. I know why it is. The tournament thing is awesome. It's a good way to get a ton of martial arts in, and it just wasn't my bag. And some of it didn't sell, and some of it was kind of silly and goofy. I appreciated it.
Yeah.
Not my thing, so 3.5 fists out of 5.
No, I understand. I'm going to go 3 fists out of 5 for martial arts. I think that for the most part, the martial arts in here are competent. But again, there's a subjectivity to it, right? So for me, I'm like, I didn't connect with it as well. But I certainly appreciate everything they did. So I'm going to go 3 fists out of 5 for martial arts on this film.
Nice. All right. Would you put Sammo Hung in this?
I think I would put Sammo Hung in the film if Sammo was the fight coordinator and Sammo would actually... Because I think the film is solid as it is, but if I wanted to add a certain amount of realism or excitement to the fight scenes, I definitely would put Sammo Hung in the film, and I put him in as the fight coordinator. But this is a personal preference. I would scale back a lot of the wire stuff, and I would make it a little bit more fast and exciting. So that's what I would do with the film.
Yeah. Yeah. Would I put Sammo Hung in this? I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would, because Sammo doesn't do a lot of the... like crazy over the top. Like, he likes Sammo seems to
no
like,
that's what I mean. Like, I would put him in, I would put him as the fight coordinator. So I would have him just doing the fight choreography, and I would change it up. So does that make it a better movie? Well, there's a lot of people that would say no, but for me it would be a yes for sure.
Yeah, I guess personally I'd put him in,
yeah,
because I like his style of fight choreography better. So yeah, I would do that. But I to keep this movie as classic as it is, probably not. But to for change it for me personally, absolutely. Yeah, put him in there. Where would you put William Hung?
Oh, Jesus. If I was going to put William Hung in here, I would probably... Okay, let's try to fuck this movie up a little bit. I would put William Hung in as the first one-armed guy that gets murdered with the guillotine. So he's the guy in the restaurant that's like eating the chicken.
Swatted the flies.
And he's just like, I killed 7 in one blow. And then he gets his head fucking chopped off. I think that would be pretty funny.
I think I would put him in as the tournament owner's daughter, but I'd make it a son.
Oh,
and I'd
Jesus.
Make him awful, and the Thai guy would kill him. The Thai guy would just beat his ass and kill him.
That'd be
like
great.
The tournament owner wouldn't get to stop it in time. Like, oh my God, you killed my son. Yeah, let me in your tournament. Like, fuck.
That's great.
Who would you buy a beer in this movie?
Overall, like, the film is a solid film. I'd probably buy a beer for the Master of the Flying Guillotine. I actually think he's the best character, even though he's the villain. I'd sit down and have a beer with him. I think that he went out on his mission, and I thought he did the best job in the film, to be honest.
He did do a good job. I would probably buy a beer just for the hell of it for the guy that played the TIE fighter. I just
liked
him.
Was
I thought
really
he was
good.
Cool.
Yeah, he was really great.
I would probably buy him a beer just to sit down and have a chat with him and have a fun little talk and whatnot. I think that'd be kind of all right. Would you remake this?
I think this movie could be remade. Not necessarily just for the special effects, but I think that the special effects would be a big part of it.
Yeah.
And I think if you did this film kind of in the wacky style of Kung Fu Hustle, it would be fucking crazy. Yeah. So, yeah, I think if we were going to really, really go for it and go Kung Fu Hustle style, I think this would be definitely worth a remake.
Well, and like, the flying guillotine itself, the actual weapon, shows up in a couple movies like Iron Monkey Part 2, and that was from 96.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a remake of the movie per se, because it was just the actual weapon, the flying guillotine. It was in a movie called Heroic Trio and another one called Violent Shit 2.
Violent Shit?
Like, it shows up. I swear to God, it's Violent Shit Part 2.
But, Jesus, Odd Job kind of rips it off partly with from the James Bond franchise, even.
Yes. Yeah, it does, actually. Just FYI, Violent Shit 2 has a subtitle of Mother Hold My Hand.
Oh,
so we might have to watch that at some point. Violent Shit, the first one, was an 89 horror movie from Germany, so then they sequeled it. Anyway, off topic.
Everything is violent in Germany, including shits.
Everything's and violent shit, yeah. Including shitting. I'd probably leave this one alone. Honestly, there's like five of them. There's Flying Guillotine Part 2 here. There's Fatal Flying Guillotine in 77. There's Flying Guillotine 2 Palace Carnage. That was the actual Shaw remake of the first one.
Right.
And then I think there's one called Vengeful Beauty, I think, is in the 78, another final chapter, sort of. So I don't think it needs to be done again, although I'd like to see the actual weapon brought back in sort of an homage thing. Tarantino used the music from this in a quick scene in Kill Bill.
Well, I mean, in Kill Bill, you don't quite have the flying guillotine, but you've got Gogo with her ball chain.
That wrecking
razor
ball thing with the blade on
thing,
it, right?
With the blade on it, which was actually, like, that was pretty cool. Like, because that actually had weight and kind of worked in the world, like, with the laws of physics. So,
yes.
I actually thought that was really cool. But the guillotine, like, lassoed it on someone's head and sawn it off. It didn't quite work for me.
No, didn't quite work for me, but I still dig it. I'm all right with it. All right, dude, that is a wrap on 1976's Master of the Flying Guillotine. Coming up next, we are jumping forward in the catalog. We're moving all the way up to 1991, and we are going to get into Keith Vitale in American Kickboxer 1.
Oh, you fucking, you button hooked me. I thought we were going to be doing Double Impact. I was getting ready to talk about Chad and Alex Wagner. We're doing American Kickboxer 1. Oh, my God. Listen, first of all, I love Keith Vitale. Secondly, I've not seen this movie because I purposely avoided it because it's the only movie in a franchise that actually has a 1 in the title that I've ever seen.
I think that's right. I don't think there's any other franchise or movie with a sequel where the first one actually has a 1 after
like,
it.
I remember being down at the video store and seeing that and like American Kickboxer 1. And I was like, what fucking movie puts 1? Like, what movie puts 1 in the title? So I never watched it. I legit never watched this movie. So I'm really excited to get in there and be just like, what the fuck made them call it 1? So it's going to be good.
Yeah, man, I'm excited to get into this one. I haven't seen this in, I don't even think I've seen this forever, so, or I haven't seen it at all. So I'm excited to get into it. Next week, 1991, Keith Vitale in American Kickboxer 1 on You Have Offended This Podcast.